Good morning, everyone. My name is Rebbe, and I'm pastor at the church in Ann Arbor, and it's really great to be here. Before I continue with that, I want to wish everyone a happy Father's Day as well. Fathers who are watching, hope you have a great day. And, you know, as Sarah was sharing as well, you know, for those of you, hopefully it's an opportunity for you to reconnect with your dad and to just tell him how much you love him. I'm planning after this, I'm actually bolting after the message, because I'm, you know, grabbing lunch with my mom and dad and just wanted to honor my dad on Father's Day. But also, as she was sharing, I know Father's Day is a hard holiday for a lot of people. And I really pray that in the midst of this, you're reminded of God the Father's love for you, and you're comforted by that. But it's really great to be here. It's great to be in Detroit. I'm so thankful to see everyone. And this is actually the first time I preached in like 3 months in front of people. Usually it's been in an empty room in Ann Arbor, just towards the camera, but there's actually humans here, and I'm not sure how to respond, but hopefully it goes well. And honestly, I'm thankful for Pastor Sam. It's good to see him again after a while. I'm thankful that he's here and serving faithfully, and it's good to see the others that are here as well. Every time I see Danny, I get really insecure, because I am follically challenged on my head, and he continues to be blessed with hair. And even seeing Ivy and Sarah here serving, it's just good getting to know them over the last several years and just seeing them serve here. I'm very thankful. And there's so many people in Detroit Church that I just won't mention now because I might forget someone, but I've known so many of you during your time in Ann Arbor, and it's great to continue to hear you worship and serve here. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to share God's word. And you know, every time I preach, like, there's always this nervousness. People always ask me, are you nervous still? And I always get nervous because I realize it is such a privilege to share God's word. It is something that I realize that it has to be God moving through me, because I'm a sinful, broken person. And so if God moves, that's the only way I realize people are getting ministered to today. And so I'm really praying for that and thankful that God wants to use me. And I'm really thankful for the series on Psalms. This is such a great idea. And it's actually what the undergrad students in Ann Arbor are doing in their life group Bible study. We just opened up the book of Psalms and said, hey, just go through the book of Psalms. I'm actually leading an undergrad group again this summer, and it's my first time leading a life group in like 6-7 years, but it's been great going through the book of Psalms. And, you know, Pastor Sam actually gave me a couple options on what to preach, and I think he told me either Psalm, I think it was 93, it might have been 93, or Psalm 146, and I looked at Psalm 93, and I'll be honest, I said, no, it's really long, and so I don't want to study a long passage. And so I decided to look at 146, and not just that it's shorter, but man, it's a really appropriate psalm for, I feel like, closing out this series and being able to just continue to grow together. And so Psalm 146 is a great passage. And so hopefully you have your Bibles open, Psalm 146. And let me read that for us. I'll read it in the ESV. It says here, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth on that very day. His plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed and gives food for the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Let me pray before we continue. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. That even in the midst of all that's going on, Lord, it is a new day that you've given us, a day to lift up praises, to honor you, to celebrate you for your faithfulness. I thank you that we can gather together virtually as a church and be able to worship, to encourage one another through our messages on the chat, and to, Lord, hear from your word. And I pray that your word will really speak to us and reveal your heart to us, challenge us and convict us. I pray for just your anointing on me. That, Lord, this message will not be about me, but it will be about you. It will point to you, your goodness, your care, your love, your grace for, Lord, your children. And I pray that you'll use me as your vessel through whom you use to just communicate your heart. And so bless every single person, Lord. I pray for everyone that's listening in especially those who are listening in, maybe for the first time they're invited by a friend. I pray that, Lord, their hearts are open and ready to receive from you. Lord, just an extra reminder of your love and your grace. We thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
It's been good going through the book of Psalms during our life group Bible studies. And, you know, I'm sure Pastor Sam and others have shared how good the book of Psalms is. And, you know, it's good for just, you know, learning and understanding. It's good for instruction. And, you know, that's what the series is titled, Life Instructions, right? And so that's great. But also, I think there's something that's really important that we see in the book of Psalms is really resonating with the emotions that people go through. And I think that's really important because when we're feeling emotions, it's important to understand that a lot of those emotions are normal. Those emotions are a normal response. Because I feel like sometimes we're like, should I feel this way? Is this wrong or is this right? I don't know. And I feel like the Psalms really gives us a window into understanding, you know, what emotions look like in the midst of all that's going on. And especially in the midst of difficult times, I think there's a lot of emotions that come up. And I love what Martin Luther said regarding the book of Psalms. It says here that the human heart is like a ship on a stormy sea, driven about by winds, blowing from all four corners of heaven. The book of Psalms is full of heartfelt utterances made during storms of this kind. Where can one find nobler words to express joy than in the Psalms of praise or gratitude? In them, you can see into the hearts of saints as if you are looking at a lovely pleasure garden or were gazing into heaven. How fair and charming and delightful and the flowers you will find there. And that's why today's message is titled Having Hope in the Storm. Having Hope in the Storm. Because I really believe this psalm gives us a window into understanding a little bit more of where we can find hope in the midst of the storm that's going on. And the reason why I titled it that, because I'm sure this is maybe obvious. Pastor Rebbe, you're being very obvious now. But there's a lot of storms going on around us and in our lives right now. And I'm sure these have been mentioned over and over again, but it's very clear. Right now we know COVID-19 is still a pandemic that is happening, not just in our state, in our country, but all around the world. And that is something that has been going on for months now, but especially in the U.S., ever since mid-March. I'll never forget March 14th. I was actually supposed to preach at our church's large group for our college students. And we ended up canceling it that day because of COVID, and they closed down the university. And little did I know at that time the craziness that would ensue afterwards of just, you know, all the students being sent home and all the, you know, being working remotely and all those things that have gone on. And all of you know it as well, and that continues to this day, not only with COVID-19, but unfortunately over the last, I would say, 6 weeks, maybe a month or so, 4 to 6 weeks, there's been all the protests that have been going on regarding racism in our country and the police violence. And we remember, I remember even on Mother's Day where we were able to share with our church and talk about the death, the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. And then we also, on Memorial Day, George Floyd was murdered that day as well. And ever since then, the hatred and the evil that exists in our country, that's always existed, but recently it's been caught on video, and now we've been recognizing and seeing. And the crazy thing is, it's not like getting better. We're just more noticing it. We're recognizing the brokenness that exists in our country. And that's not just what's going on in our country, but there's brokenness. There's storms going on around the world. And it's hard to even recognize these things because of everything that's going on. But one of the things that God's really placed on my heart is what's happening in Yemen. In Yemen, they've had an ongoing war. And during that war, there was a cholera outbreak, and people were just starving. And before COVID, you know, like, there was so much humanitarian aid that was coming in, and it was great to be able to help, you know, even though it was a very challenging situation. But ever since COVID, now they have a COVID outbreak going on, and the nations that were providing aid are no longer able to. And so now you have this country that continues to have a war, that continues to have hunger, and a cholera outbreak, now is dealing with COVID. And that picture you see of that girl, that's just one of so many different stories that are going on in Yemen. And another place that's close to my heart is what's going on in India as well. And I'm just singling out a few places, but in India, I don't know if you guys heard, but back in March, they closed down the country, which, you know, was a good response. And, you know, so everything shut down. You couldn't work. All the public transportation closed, which, you know, is a good response. But what ended up happening was, there are men and women that are just, you know, they're very poor. And so they're working very, like, small jobs in just remote parts of India. And what happened was their job stopped, and they needed to get back home, but all the public transportation stopped. And so therefore, these people would be walking thousands of miles to get home, walking 1,000 miles in India. Mind you, this is summer in India, and it's like over 100 degrees, and they're walking in their sandals. Like their feet are covered in blisters, and they're still walking because they need to get home. And even once they get home, it's not like they have like all this money and food to provide. And so there's a hunger crisis in India as well. And so this is what's going on. These are just a handful of stories. I'm sure we could spend the rest of the time just talking about it. But I know that many of you, we know all these storms that are going on all around us, but it's not just storms that are impacting the world around us. But I'm confident that if we're honest with ourselves, there's storms going on in our own lives as well. There's storms of just future uncertainty, school, or employment. You're not sure what's going to happen with your work, or some of you are looking to maybe further your studies, and you're wondering what that's going to look like in the fall. The same thing's happening at U of M as well. You know, they haven't announced it yet, and it's almost July. What's going to happen in the fall for, you know, in-person classes? And you're not sure what's going on. Not only that, but there's also financial worries. You know, the stock market is going nuts every day. You don't know what's going to happen. It goes up, it goes down, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. And many people are worried about the finances. And it's not just, you know, the stock market, but there's people who aren't able to work. There's people who are struggling. And you know, our country is in a very difficult place for a lot of people. Also, there's many of you who have faced people in your family or friends that have gotten sick, whether it's from COVID or other things. And even people have passed away. It was actually crazy from like Memorial Day for about 10 days. There was like 3 people that I knew that ended up passing away. They didn't pass away from COVID, but they passed away. And we had to attend these funerals virtually, which I'm thankful that we got to, but even missing funerals, being able to be there with the family as they grieve and just giving them a hug and to cry with them, we can't do right now. And obviously, you know, people are struggling with things like depression, anxiety, loneliness. I want to make sure that we realize those things are real. And I want to acknowledge that as well. And it's not just those struggles that are going on, but I even want to share with you guys just, you know, life isn't easy. And, you know, originally I was actually supposed to preach this sermon. I was going to record it in Ann Arbor. But something happened on Friday. So Friday I was planning to hang out with a friend of mine. It was his birthday. And so we were going to go kayaking, grab dinner, and just chill out together. And so he came up and we went kayaking. It was great. I recommend kayaking in Ann Arbor. It's awesome. What ended up happening was, as I was kayaking, my kayak ended up capsizing, which in and of itself was great. It was fun. The water felt great. But what happened was, as I was trying to grab my bearings, because the water ended up being to my neck, and I was grabbing my bearings, I needed to hold on to my kayak because the current was keeping the kayak, you know, and it was causing it to go downstream. I didn't realize it until later, but I ended up cutting the bottom of my foot twice, either on sharp rock or probably even glass that had been there. And so what ended up happening was I dragged my kayak to the side, and as I'm dragging it to the side, and that's when I realized I lost my glasses as well. My phone was in my pocket, and so it had gotten wet, and it was just a crazy, ridiculous moment. And then, mind you, this kayak is filled with water, and it's dragging away from me because of the current. And so I don't know where I got the strength. I felt like Samson, just being able to figure out how to pull this kayak to the side. And as I'm walking to the side, I look down and I see in the water, there's like blood just pouring out from my leg. And I didn't feel it. I didn't recognize. There was no pain at the time. But when I got to the side, I realized there were these 2 deep gashes in my foot. And the blood just kept coming out. And I was just like, man, like all I wanted to do was celebrate my friend's birthday. And, you know, this is what happened. And I share that story because I know it's easy for us to dismiss the storms that are going on in our lives. Because you're like, hey, it's not as bad as what other people like in Yemen or India are going through, which might or might not be true. But your storm is valid. Your storm is something that you need to recognize and realize that something that it needs to be dealt with. It doesn't diminish the impact of that storm in your life. And that's what I wanted to share as well. Right now, you know, I'm sitting here and you know, my foot is doing better, but it's still painful. I can't walk properly because it's right on the bottom of my foot. And I would share pictures with you guys, but the sermon would go from rated G to PG-13 really quickly. And so if you want to see pictures, just message out in the chat and then I'll have Pastor Sam, or someone send them to you. But and so that's what's going on. There's storms going on in our lives, and we need to confront those storms. We need to deal with what's going on. And so the question comes up, what can we learn from Psalm 146 and how to respond to these storms of our lives? And so let me read again verses 1 to 2 and also verse 10. Let me read it. It says here, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord." And the first thing you see in verse 1a is praise the Lord. And what that is, that's a command. In the King James Version, it says, "Praise ye the Lord." So it's a command. It's an encouragement that everyone should praise the Lord. And that's how this psalm begins. As we continue on in verses 1b, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And that's also translated as "let all that I am," or "oh, my inmost being." So everything within me, praise the Lord. With everything that I have inside of me, let it produce praise. As we continue on, verse 2a, it says, "as long as I live, all of my life." And so from every moment, every breath that I have should be in response to worshiping and praising God. And as we continue, verse 2b, it says, "while I have my being, for the duration of my life," for the duration of my being. And we see the whole psalm ends as well, "praise the Lord." And the reason I wanted to show each of those parts to you guys is what I see happening is a psalmist describing what I want to call an unstoppable worship. An unstoppable worship. What we see the psalmist describing is a commitment to a never-ending praise that is from deep within the soul of a person. It's not just like this half-hearted worship because, hey, it's worship time at church. But it's this overwhelming from the depths of a person worship that is pouring out in every moment of and every situation. That with every breath, praise is overflowing. That for the rest of their days, until they have no breath left, the focus will be on praise. And that's what we see happening in these first two verses in the last verse. That in the midst of every season, there is a praise that never ceases, no matter what's going on. Now, for some of you, you're probably wondering, you're like, man, does this mean that we just got to be singing songs all the time and whatever we do? Like when we go to the bathroom, we got to sing songs like Waymaker and really give God worship that he will make a way. And what I want to share is that that's not the case. You know, I think for many of us, when we hear about praise or worship, it gets confined to just singing. But worship isn't just singing. Worship is every moment of our lives. Worship is everything that we do. In all that we do, whether we eat or drink or everything, we do it all for the glory of God. And I think that's what's being talked about here by the psalmist, that in every moment, worship is overflowing. That worship is communicated in response to God and his goodness to us. Now, I know the question comes up, Pastor, how do you do that? Like, you don't know how difficult my situation is. You don't know how challenging it is, the losses that I face, the pain that I'm feeling. And you're right, I don't know. I don't know what you're going through. I don't understand the painfulness that many of you are facing. But as we look throughout Scripture, we see examples of men and women who continue to have unstoppable worship, even in the midst of the most difficult situations. One of the ones that is famous that many of you know about is the character Job in the book of Job. And Job is this man who is not only a righteous man, a man that is devoted to God, but he's also very wealthy. And so wealth at the time, he had all this like cattle and like sheep and lamb and all these things. He had all these servants that are helping him, and he had many children as well. And so he's just blessed. And you could just tell from and all you're given is the first two chapters to really understand what he has. But you see this description, and literally on one day, he loses all of it. And so all of his cattle and livestock is destroyed. His children are all killed in a storm. And I think all but three of his servants end up escaping, and the rest are murdered and killed. And Job finds out about it rapid fire, one after another. And we see that in the midst of it, in Job chapter 1, verse 21, how does he respond? And he says, "And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, I want to caution us, because what I didn't include is earlier on, Job did spend time mourning and grieving those losses. And I'm not saying don't mourn, don't grieve, but in the midst of those difficult moments, whatever storm you're facing, Can you keep your gaze fixed on God? Can you keep your gaze fixed on a God who's faithful and good, even in the midst of difficulties that we're going to face in this life? The reason I shared that kayak story was because it was a pretty crappy situation. Pastor Simon, I hope I can say crappy, but it was a crappy situation. It really sucked. And but the thing that ended up happening was, as I was limping to the car to get back home, I was reflecting on that moment. And what I ended up realizing was, like, I was really blessed. The reason I was blessed was because at that moment, I called all these different friends of mine. And they dropped everything to come help me. A friend of mine, Tommy New, some of you might know him. He won the Cayman. It was his kayaks that I was borrowing. And so I couldn't return him. And so he came to come retrieve the kayaks. My roommate, Kashish, dropped everything. He was planning to go to a dinner. And then he came to pick me up. My friend that I was with, Manoj, he was running a bunch of errands. He went to Kroger to get gauze and different things to take care of me. Dr. Paul Kemp, who is in Ann Arbor as well, he came over. He left his family. He didn't leave his family. They're watching Mary Poppins. But he came to come help me out as well. And he's the one that put glue on my foot to make sure that it would heal. And he wrapped it up. And I realized, God, like, you blessed me with some really good friends. And in that moment, even though it sucked, I'm in pain, it's difficult, in that moment, God brought me to a place where I realized, man, it's not as bad as it could be. Sure, I lost my glasses and I'm wearing an old frame and it's not a big deal. Oh my gosh, my phone started working again and so I'm thankful for that. And just realizing all these things, like, man, there's still so much to be thankful for, even in the midst of a storm that was difficult. And so the question I want to invite you to just reflect on for a moment is, like, what storm are you facing that you can't fix your gaze on God? What is going on in your life that you can't refix your gaze on God? And in the midst of it, just thank Him. That even though things are difficult, even though things are hard and uncertain, that you can just refocus back and recognize that God is still good, that God is still sovereign and faithful, that God is in control no matter what's going on. Now, I know the question keeps coming up and you're thinking about it. You're like, Pastor, how can we have unstoppable worship in the midst of all that is happening? And that leads to the second point that I want to talk about in this passage. It's that not only is there unstoppable worship, but we see that we have a never-failing hope. A never-failing hope. Let me read again verses 3 to 6. It says here, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever." What we see happening, and we're not sure, it says that this psalm is written by anonymous, so they're not sure, but some people have speculated that it might have been written by King David, which is really interesting, and we're not for sure, that's just some people's speculation. But the interesting thing is, the first thing that it says is, don't trust in princes. And so if King David wrote that, he's talking about himself, right? He's talking about leaders. And says, don't put your trust in princes or leadership. Don't trust in men or women who can't save. That word son of man that's there in verse 3 is not talking about God, but it's lowercase. It's talking about creation, man or woman. Don't put your trust in people because all of them will die and their plans that they have put together will end up perishing with them. And so that's what the psalmist is talking about. It's talking about, like, don't put your trust in these things. What does that mean? Does that mean I can't trust people? Does that mean I shouldn't trust them? That idea of trust that's being talked about here is actually better understood as, what have you placed your hope in? What have you placed your hope in? And the reason why that question is so critical for us today is because you and I, when God created us, we were created to be hope-based creatures. So when God formed you together in your mother's womb, He created you to long to have hope. He created you, He wired you up so that you would long to have hope in something. And the reason why He created you that way was because that need that you have for hope would ultimately be fully satisfied in God and God alone. And so therefore, you would be fully satisfied for your need for hope in God. Tim Keller, I think, says it best in this quote. It says, "You and I are unavoidably and irreducibly hope-based creatures. We are controlled not how we live now, but what we think will happen later. Christian hope has to do with the ultimate future, not the immediate." And the reason why I'm talking about that is because of sin, instead of placing our hope in God, the only one that will never fail, what we do is we place our hope in the creation, in the things of this world. So rather than placing our hope in the Creator, we turn to the creation to fulfill our hope. And then turning to the creation to satisfy that need for hope, it leads to brokenness, it leads to disappointment, it leads to hopelessness. You know, one of the things that I got to do, I think it was last Saturday, was they organized a protest for, the racial tension that's going on in our country, the police brutality. And so there was a protest that was put together by Christian organizations, churches in Washtenaw County. And so I'm not sharing this because I'm like, oh, I want you guys to think like I'm like woke or anything. It's nothing like that. I have a lot to learn. And so going to a protest was an opportunity for me to really learn and understand more. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity to go. But as I was attending, before we actually went on a march and protested, there was a rally. And during that rally, they had a bunch of different people come up and share. And what ended up happening was a lot of them were political figures in the Washtenaw County area. And they were sharing about the elections that are coming up and how you should vote. And I just got this burden in my heart that even for Christians, a lot of them were turning to politicians for hope rather than really turning to God. And please, I'm not saying this is not a message saying don't vote, just trust God. There's practical things that we can do, but there's just some uneasiness that I felt in my spirit, just like, God, as much as we need to vote and be faithful with these things, like, we need to be praying for the people. We need to be praying for the elections. We need to be trusting that you are in control, that you're the one that we're placing our hope in. Because this passage is reminding us that we can't put our hope in leaders, in politicians, even in pastors or bosses or your supervisor. I'm sure Pastor Sam loves telling you how much he messes up and how sinful he is, and he loves sharing that. And so therefore, you can't put your hope in people. You can't put your hope in a friend or maybe a significant other that you have now or someone that will come in the future. We can't put our hope in things like our finances or our retirement plan or maybe finding a way to make more money or even in our own abilities to succeed. Because of sin, what we do is we had that longing for hope and we end up turning to all these things in creation to look to find that hope. And those things will continuously lead us to a place of brokenness and pain and hopelessness. But the psalmist in verse 5, it says there, that verse, it starts off with the word blessed. And that word is the same word that's used in Psalm 1 and has the idea of being content. Blessed or content is the one whose hope or trust is in God. The cause of our unstoppable worship flows from a hope in the God of Jacob. A God who is our help, our God who is our hope, our creator, and he is someone who never fails. And that's what the psalmist is reminding us and encouraging us and challenging us to put our hope in. And this isn't just something we see in Psalm 146. We see this littered throughout scripture. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 8. I'm going to read in the ERV. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Bad things will happen to those who put their trust in people. Bad things will happen to those who depend on human strength. That is because they have stopped trusting the Lord. They are like a bush in a desert where no one lives. It is in a hot and dry land. It is in bad soil. That bush does not know about the good things that God can give. But those who trust in the Lord will be blessed. They know that the Lord will do what he says. They will be strong like trees planted near a stream that sends out roots to the water. They have nothing to fear when the days get hot. Their leaves are always green. They never worry. Even in a year that has no rain, they always produce fruit." And over again, we see all throughout scripture, these writers are reminding us that we can't put our hope in creation, that creation will fail, creation will not last forever. Creation is something that will disappoint us and hurt us. And that's what the psalmist is showing us here, that the only thing that we can put our hope in is a God who is faithful, a God who is someone that we can trust, that will not let us down in the midst of our challenging moments. You know, not only do I serve as a pastor in Ann Arbor, but I'm also, I work for university as the IT manager for one of the departments there. And, you know, I've been working remotely mostly, but recently I had to go in for a recent project that I've been working on. And so this is a picture of a Red Hat Linux logo. And so this is kind of a geek time of our sermon, but I've had to re-image a server. And there's a huge project that is not just our department, but university-wide. And there's this whole thing called the Ripple server. And I don't want to go into it because it has nothing to do with the message. But let's just say it's a lot of money and a lot of people were depending on the server. And so I needed to reimage this. And I'm not that familiar with Red Hat Linux, but you know, I've gotten to learn it a little bit better. And so what ended up happening was I reimaged the server. And after reimaging the server, I had to go ahead and just make sure it was secure, getting the firewall set up, securing it. And then I installed this Ripple software. And I'm just making final configuration edits to it. I'm like almost done. So I'm not exaggerating. This took about 15 hours of work. And so I'm like, okay, this is almost done, ready to go. And I make one last configuration change. And then the software stops working. And I'm like, what's going on? And so what ended up happening was I turned to some of these IT experts with this Ripple group. And literally for the next 5 hours, we were troubleshooting everything to figure out why this wouldn't work. And we got to a place at like 5:30. It was on Thursday, and the guys were like, "Hey, let's just wait a few days, and maybe you might have to reimage it." And I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, like I do not want to reimage this and start all over." I'll be honest, I left pretty upset, pretty discouraged. I was just like, "God, why are you allowing this to happen?" And so I went home, and Thursday we had our churchwide prayer gathering in Ann Arbor, and you know it was on Zoom, and so I put my iPad on my bed, and I just wanted to lie down because it was a long day. And as I started worshiping with our church, this thought came to my mind. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making this up. This is legit what happened. This thought came to my mind during this time of worship at our prayer gathering. Why don't you just reboot the server? So I was like, okay. And so I left the prayer gathering, and I went to my computer. I remoted into the server. I rebooted it. Then all of a sudden, the software started working. I'm not exaggerating. Literally, it started working. And I messaged these guys. And I'm like, you guys will not believe it. The server's working. They're like, what did you do? I just said rebooting. They're like, oh, we should have tried that. And the reason I'm sharing that is because these guys are experts. These guys are like some of the brightest minds regarding like this software and Red Hat Linux. And instead of putting my trust in them, and again, I'm not trying to like religiousize this as like something crazy, but when I got to a place where I was just like worshiping and just trying to surrender the situation to God, I just felt like God brought this solution. And I'm just so thankful in that moment that like in that moment, instead of not saying don't go to experts and don't work with people or don't trust anyone, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying is what are you putting your trust in the midst of the storms that are going on? Do you trust in God? And are your eyes fixed on God in the midst of those difficult situations? Can we pause and reflect for a moment? What is it that you place your hope in apart from God? Who are you trusting in the midst of life's biggest storms? Is it checking the Free Press or the Detroit News to find out the latest COVID numbers in Michigan? Is it checking whatever other news network there is to see, hey, is there a vaccine out there? Is it to see what politicians or just celebrities are saying regarding the tension that we see and the hatred and the racism that exists? Or in the midst of all the storms that are going on in our lives and in our world, are our eyes fixed on God? You know, as I was preparing this morning to come here, God led me to this passage, which is very, you know, familiar, but I feel like it really talks about what this passage is pointing to. Matthew chapter 14, verse 20 to 31. This is a famous story when Jesus comes walking out on the water in the midst of the storm. And he says, hey, don't worry, guys, it's me, Jesus. And Peter answered him. It says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, I think that story shows us that in the midst of the storms that are going on, instead of focusing in on the storms, can we fix our gaze on the one who is faithful, who is the one that is trustworthy, who never fails? Can I invite you to repent of those things that you put your hope in apart from God? Can I invite you just to acknowledge it? Whatever that might be, can you acknowledge that and say, God, forgive me. That instead of trusting in you, I trusted in the things of this world. Instead of trusting my creator, I trusted in the created things. Now I know as we close out the sermon, you're wondering, how can I know he won't fail? How do we know that he's trustworthy? And I want to read the last portion of the scripture, verses 7 to 9. It says here, and it continues on from verse 6, it says, "Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry? The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin." And what we see happening in this psalm that is written, at that time, there were people that were in need around them that the psalmist knew that God would take care of, that there was justice for those who were oppressed, that he would provide food for those who are hungry, that he would set those who are in prison free, that he would open the eyes of the blind, whether it's physically blind or even spiritually blind, he would be the one that would open the eyes. That he would lift up those who are bowed down. That he loved those who are righteous or who do good. He watches over the sojourner, or in other translation it says strangers. He upholds a widow and the fatherless. Or in another translation it says orphan. See, as you read this, we understand that this is a God who is faithful to meet the needs of those who are hurting, those who are broken, those who are going through storms in their lives. And the reason why we see that is in the end of verse 6, he says, the Lord is faithful. Faithful to what? I want to read Psalm 146, verse 6 in the New Living Translation. It says, "He made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever." And that's what our God is faithful to. That if he said he's going to do it, he's faithful to it. He is a promise keeper. And that's why we can be confident. That's why we can put our hope in God, because he is faithful to every promise he has made forever. God's heart has always been for those who are hurting and broken. All throughout scripture we see this. God's heart is for the hungry, the hurting, the broken, the oppressed. And there's a bunch of verses that you'll see there on the screen. I'm not going to read all of them, but the references are given. Those, and that's just a handful. And we see that this is what's happening. And all throughout scripture, God's heart is for the broken, the oppressed. And we see that this, it wasn't something that God created. God didn't create brokenness. God didn't create hungry people. God didn't create these things. But we see that these things were created by sin. It was created by the fall of man. The brokenness that we see in this world was created by our sin. And that's what we see. That's the consequence of what's happening all around us. If you look at, and you remember back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, there were no hungry people. There were no oppressed people. There were no sojourners or prisoners, because there was no sin. There was no brokenness in the world. But we see, as soon as men and women sinned, and as soon as they had a need, God started meeting that need. As soon as they recognized that they were naked, what did God do? He put together clothes for them. And ever since that point, God has been doing whatever he can to meet the needs of people all around the world, people that are broken and hurting and hungry, orphaned. And we see that the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise was found in the person of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up." And this is talking about Jesus. "And as it was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read the scroll." And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." See, God, all those promises that he made in the Old Testament were ultimately fulfilled through the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't just come to meet the physical needs that exist, to feed the poor, to heal those who are sick, but he also came to meet their spiritual need, which is far greater than their physical need. And that spiritual need was ultimately met when he died on the cross to forgive them of their sinfulness. And that's how God has been faithful to the promises that he's made in Scripture. That ultimately that promise was made faithful to the person of Jesus Christ. That need that we had was met through the death that he suffered on the cross. And because of his faithfulness, church, we are filled with an unstoppable praise and strengthened by a never-failing hope that will allow us to continue to be faithful, to trust Him even in the midst of the most difficult storm. Even in the midst of all that's going on, we can be confident that our God is with us, that our God is a promise keeper. And that is what we put our hope in. That is what causes an unstoppable worship to overflow in our hearts. See, but the story doesn't end there. Because the Lord remains faithful to His mission, we see that He has entrusted that mission to us. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 48, it says, "Then He said to them, 'These are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Then He said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance from the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things.'" My last point is that His mission continues. And as I was reading this in Psalm, and then I went to this Luke passage, we see that there's nothing new under the sun, that there's still people that have needs all around us. We see clearly in the news right now, but not just in the news, there's things going on all around the world of people who are oppressed. There's people who are suffering in hunger today. There's sojourners today, but we better know them as refugees that are being sent to different countries because they had to escape war or other things that are going on in their homes. There's widows and orphans that we can care for today. And what we see is that not only has God made a way for these needs to be met through the blood of Jesus Christ, but that Jesus Christ has anointed and empowered His church to be the ones that will go and meet the needs that we see around the world. And that's why He wants to use you and I to be the answers to the prayers that are being lifted up. That He wants to send you now to go and help those who are oppressed, to help those who are hungry. And what can you do? And you know, I could sit here and we could talk for another hour and list off all the things that you can do, but I want to invite you to really pray and see how is God calling you to respond. I'll just be honest, and again, I don't like sharing these things, so I'm not trying to like say, "Hey, look at Pastor Rebbe, he's this great guy," but as I was like posting that picture of that girl in Yemen, just God laid it on my heart, "Hey, you need to financially support what's happening in Yemen." I'm researching, trying to find a good organization that is still providing aid to Yemen, and that's just something God placed on my heart. But there's other things that I need to continue to grow in as well. Last weekend, my life group, we watched together this documentary on Netflix called 13th, so that we could just grow in our understanding of what Black people in America are facing with racism and the oppression that they face. That protest that I went through Saturday, it was just another opportunity to learn. Maybe you can donate or volunteer at different places that help those who are hungry, even in your own city, in Detroit. That there's refugees that are coming to our country. There's people that I've met, even this past February, around Valentine's Day, there's we set up this organization where we were able to just interact with refugee families and just help the kids just learn how to make Valentines so they could give to their families. And there's these kids that have been just brought here from different places in Syria that I got to interact with. I'm not sure how God's calling you to respond. But I do know this, that God is calling all of us to respond. That God has called us to be the church, and this is how we be the church. That this is the mission He has sent us on. And it's not just to go and meet the physical needs that exist, but it's to go and share as witnesses about their spiritual need and how that spiritual need can be met through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the calling that God has given us in the midst of these storms. Because in the midst of our storms, we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. And because of that, we should be empowered and anointed and sent out to bring this message of hope to those around us. I love what Nancy DeClaus Walford said in this quote. And man, this is great. It says here, "But God will continue to care and provide for the oppressed, the hungry, the prisoners, the blind, those who are bent down, the strangers and the orphans and the widows." How? "With the hands and feet, through the minds and wills, and out of the inmost beings of those who believe that God is indeed sovereign in this world." That's us, church. This is a fresh reminder for us today. Not to ignore the storms that we're going through. to confront those storms and to have an unstoppable worship because we have a hope that is never failing. And because of that hope that is never failing, we are out there serving the needs of those who are hungry, those who are oppressed, those who are broken. Can I invite you, as we close out, I'm going to pray for us, and Pastor Sam will come up and lead us in a time of response. But as we do, can I invite you just to bow your heads, and how is God just inviting you to respond? You know, one of the ways we'll have right away is, you know, Brother Danny and Pastor Sam are going to lead us in worship. And wherever you're at, can you just give God just this worship that is from the depths of your soul? That even in the midst of all that's going on, God, I want to give you praise because you are worthy of worship. That's one way all of us can respond. Second, can you confront places that you put your hope in and repent of those things and say, God, help me to put my hope in the only thing that is never failing, which is you and you alone. Can you pray for that? That that's not something that you can do on your own, that is only aided by the power and the grace of God. And so, God, help me. Give me strength to trust you, because our sinfulness wants to take control and put our hopes in things of this world. But what God is leading us to is to say, can you put your hope in God and God alone? And as your hope is fixed on God, how is God calling you to respond to the mission that we've been called to? To not only the brokenness that exists in the world, but right now, who are the people, even in our own church, that just need someone to be reached out to? Someone that God's placing on your heart for you to just reach out to check in on, to pray for. And after that, even beyond that, a coworker, a neighbor, a family member. Maybe serving in different ways, a food pantry or whatever it might be. How is God calling you to respond? Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that Lord, you knew that storms would come. And that you knew that in the midst of life's storms, that we would need an anchor. And we thank you, Father, that we have an anchor, a hope for our soul that is far greater than whatever this world can provide. And I praise you, Father, that that hope was, Lord, just guaranteed for us, especially when the blood of your Son was shed on the cross. And Abba, I pray right now in Jesus' name for every heart of every person that is listening, that you allow them to recognize that, Lord, this world that you created wasn't meant for us to put our hope in, but was created so that, Lord, it would ultimately point to the ultimate hope that's found in you. And I pray that instead of putting our hope in creation, that you allow us to put our hope in you, a God who is faithful. A God who is faithful, promise keeper. Allow us to trust and depend and rely on you in the midst of all that's going on. And as we do, Father, as you fill us with this unstoppable worship because of a never-failing hope, anoint us and empower us and send us out to be the light to the world around us. Anoint us, Father, to be your hands and feet, to be the through our minds and wills, to respond to the needs that exist all around the world that we live in. Father, I pray that we can point people to hope that's ultimately found in you. So anoint HMCC of Detroit. Anoint my brothers and sisters and send them out confident because of hope that is never failing. We thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen.